Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
I'm still sitting here because of our conversation we were having, trying to come up with an ice cream acronym that would come out ODB.
Oreos, durian, blueberry.
Durian. Durian, you know, everyone's favorite ice cream. We could do better than that.
Yeah, we'll have to think.
Don't like durian ice cream?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, what a shock.
Old dirty blueberry.
Ooh, that's not bad.
I mean, I wash blueberries myself, but yeah, mm-hmm. It still works. Mm-hmm.
All right.
How dirty is the blueberry?
Losing the nutrients, so don't wash your blueberries. Just stick them right in there.
Or how about,
organic dirty blueberries. Even better.
There it is.
All right. Thankfully, Chris Ashley was here to solve this conundrum, so now we can start the show. Here we go.
Let's do it.
In 3, 2. This 10th year of Daily Tech News Show is made possible by its listeners. That's you. Especially you, Tony Glass, Philip Less, Daniel Dorado, and brand new patrons. It's now you too, Elena, Michael, and Brian. Welcome on in. On this episode of DTNS, did Apple pull off its pivot to services? ARM faces its greatest risk, and Google lets you edit yourself right out of search. This is the Daily Tech News for Friday, August 4th, 2023 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Puff and Fluff, I'm Sarah Lane.
And not too far from your nation's capital, your boy, Chris Ashley.
And I'm the show's producer, Roger Chang.
So if they did drain the swamp, it would all just flood into your neighborhood, is what you're saying.
Right. I'm far enough away. Let us drain the other direction.
Yeah. Well, we have got some good stuff today. Whether you're an Apple fan, a not Apple fan, or Apple ambivalent, there's something for you in today's show. Let us start with the quick hits. That's the wrong one. There we go.
Thursday, India announced restrictions on imports of many electronics, including laptops and tablets and servers. Companies would need a license to import such devices. So Dell, Apple, and Samsung complied with the order immediately by pausing all imports. So India's deputy IT minister said on Friday, well, hold on a second. Let's give companies a transition period of at least 1 month so they can obtain licenses to conduct imports.
I feel like India's deputy IT minister never gets listened to at home and was like, wait, they actually followed the rule? Hold on. Didn't expect that one.
We don't want them to pause. We just want them to, you know. Yeah. Get a license.
Amazon really beat the street this time, earning 65 cents a share when analysts expected it to earn 35 cents a share. Revenue rose 11%. Ad revenue rose 22%. CEO Andy Jassy said that ad revenue growth should continue. Talked about the ramp up for Thursday Night Football on Prime Video this fall. Amazon sales rose 12%, and AWS, the cloud part of Amazon, AWS sales rose 12%. But that's not as fast as it has been growing. In fact, it's the third straight quarter that AWS growth has been lower than the quarter before. But Jassy has a plan for that. He wants you to know the company is working on AI, just like everybody else, telling analysts on the Amazon earnings call that every one of our teams is working on building generative AI applications. Now, most of those will be built using other companies' AI, but the key is they'll run on AWS and then they can sell them to other people to run on AWS and therefore make money on AWS. Speaking of AWS, Chief Evangelist Jeff Barr announced in a blog post on February 1st, 2024, AWS will start charging for public IPv4 addresses, whether they're attached to a service or not. Barr noted that Amazon's cost to acquire an IPv4 address rose 300% over the past 5 years. That's just how rare IPv4 addresses are now. So he'd like y'all to adopt IPv6, if you please.
A few bits of Microsoft news today. U.S. Senator Ron Wyden sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Justice asking it to hold Microsoft accountable for negligent cybersecurity practices. The company is being called out in the wake of a major breach targeting its Azure platform last month. It affected over 24 organizations and resulted in unauthorized access of sensitive emails from U.S. government officials. Microsoft also shared a registry tweak. Those are fun to mitigate. A bug in Outlook that unexpectedly asked users to restore windows closed in a previous session. Confused some folks. And finally, Good night, sweet Prince Cortana. Aww. Microsoft is shutting down the digital assistant app this month in favor of Bing Chat and other AI-powered productivity features across Windows Microsoft's been tinkering with lately, and in the Edge browser as well. Cortana will still be available in Outlook Mobile, Teams Mobile, Microsoft Teams Display, Microsoft Teams Rooms, at least for now. But the company has also laid out plans to bring Bing Chat to the enterprise. That would be probably where something like Microsoft 365 Copilot would replace Cortana in the places it still exists.
Oh, maybe Bummer. They could use AWS.
Maybe so. Yeah. Just don't ask for IPv4 address.
A new VR headset for Meta showed up in the U.S. Federal Communications Commission database. Now, the filing doesn't call it the Quest 3, but it kind of looks like one. In fact, the FCC label is in the exact same place it is on the Quest 2. Also, Meta promised it was going to share more about the Quest 3 at its Connect event, which happens September 27th. So we're getting close to needing more information about it. They said they're going to launch it in the autumn. So it's a fair bet that this filing is, in fact, the Quest 3. And if it is, well, now we know it would come with Wi-Fi 6E. Hmm.
The EU's Digital Services Act requires large social media platforms to let users choose whether or not to see content recommendations that are based on tracking and profiling of their activities. In compliance with those rules, TikTok Europe announced that users in Europe will soon be able to switch off the algorithmic For You feed that TikTok is so well known for. A spokesperson for the company confirmed to Reuters that the social network is also in early stage talks to obtain a payments license in Indonesia. TikTok says an Indonesian payments license would help local creators and also sellers be able to make money and get some more eyeballs on the platform.
Google released a tool last year to help you request the removal of personal information from search. So phone number, home address, email. An update to that just rolled out. It's called the Results About You tool, and it includes a dashboard that will alert you when such information shows up in search, so you don't have to go find it yourself. You'll be able to request removal right from the dashboard. If it's found something it thinks is personal information, it'll list it. You can say, yes, please remove that right away. You can get to the tool from either the Google app, just tap your profile photo and select results about you, or go to goo.gle. I had no idea GLE was a top-level domain. goo.gle/results about you, all one word. It's available in the U.S. now with more countries to follow. So if you're not in the U.S., hang in there. It's supposed to come to you shortly. Google's also expanding its policy on removal of explicit image. Now, previously, you could request the removal of non-consensual explicit images of yourself, but you can now request them to be removed even if they were consensual. Even if you put it up yourself. This also might apply to content you had uploaded and later removed, but showed up on another site without your permission. Policy does not apply to content you are commercializing yourself, though. And Google's going to start blurring explicit images by default now in Google Search. You'll have to change the setting in the safe control settings. Parental controls are now searchable. You can just put in a query like Google parental controls or Google family link, and they'll show up right away. These all seem like pretty good tweaks, right? I mean, what's not to love, right?
Yeah, I think this is absolutely awesome. And my deepest thought is, why am I still nervous to search for myself on Google? I never do this. But I would hope that they bring this type of stuff more to the forefront to let people realize that this type of service is actually available to them. Because I don't know how many people actually know that. I'm sure everybody knows they can search for themselves, but I don't know how many people realize that they can make requests to have information removed.
Did you go to google.google/results about you?
No.
You don't want to know. All right.
I don't want to know.
How do you not search? Oh, my gosh.
I can't. I don't know what it is. I just...
there are a lot of things I don't look at either, you know, like the scale in the bathroom. But, oh, no, I immediately went and I was like, all right, let's see what we can remove. There really isn't anything that, you know, all the results for, you know, if I search for myself.
Right.
A lot of it's me, and a lot of it is a very well-known ballerina named Sarah Lane. And she and I, you know, we have nothing, we've never met, you know, whatever, but she has crawled up in the Google search rankings over the years because she's, you know, really good at ballet. So some of it's me and some of it's her. And I actually, just out of curiosity, I clicked on the little, you know, hamburger menu, the dot dots next to one of her results. It was like her Instagram account that, you know, is now like trending higher than mine. And, you know, I could see, because I was trying to think like, okay, let's think of nefarious ways that this could be abused. You know, if you're trying to get somebody else's result, you know, taken out so that you're trying to rank yourself higher. You know, it's possible for me to go through it, but Google asks you a lot of questions. By the way, I did not do this to this woman. But I was just, I wanted to see how far I could get.
Before you confirmed, did you really want to
do that? Yeah. I mean, she could then, you know, dispute it, and then I would look pretty bad, and Google would probably, you know, that would be on my record if I really had an issue in the future. However, the idea of getting sensitive information, you know, the company was already doing their best to help you. Yeah, get stuff like, you know, is it my current phone number? I don't want that on the internet. I don't want that, in a Google search result, rather. That's all. That makes a lot of sense, as does sensitive material, you know, like you had laid out before, Tom. There are companies that will do this for a fee. I don't know any company that does this for free.
Right.
Reputation Defender is a company that gets promoted on certain podcasts, so I'm just throwing that name out. I've not used them, but I know someone who has. Mm-hmm. In fact, I know more than one person who's used more than one company for a fee to get certain things scrubbed from the internet because it was either misleading or embarrassing or something like that. Whatever their reason was, it costs money. And some of that stuff feels a little predatory to me because you've got a company saying, you want that photo to go away forever? Right. Well,
be ashamed if somebody found this photo of you. Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like, I mean, Google's not promising to take something down that you just don't, you know, you're not happy about, you know, we're not going to rewrite history here, but it doesn't cost any money. So it's a good place to start.
My only downside to this, and it's a very minor thing, is that I wish Google had included the dark web search as a one-stop shop service of this, as opposed to having it as a separate service, because people should definitely get into habit. A lot of password managers give you this opportunity to search the dark web to see if your accounts are on there, for any of your username or passwords are on there. Or any type of information. People should get in the habit of actually using these type of services to do that. So I wish they would combine those two things together.
Yeah, it feels like a good feature request. Like, yeah, just you know, merge these interfaces together. That's a good idea. One last Google thing here. Kevin Toefel's About Chromebooks spotted a new feature turned on by default for Chrome OS 116 and up. Lacros stands for Linux and Chrome OS and splits Chrome OS's Linux operating system away from the Chrome browser. You may not have realized, but the browser and the operating system were one, because the idea was the browser was the operating system interface. Google says now that they're splitting them apart, it lets it update each one independently. So you don't have to update everything at once. They can update the browser separately from the OS. Lacros has been in development for about 2 years and is designed to make updating Chrome OS easier and might even extend the lifetime of old Chrome OS devices.
I was hoping it was pronounced Lacrosse.
Let's change. Yeah, Lacrosse from now
on. Let's just do that. Yeah, until someone says no. We're doing it. All right, we've talked about RISC-V, R-I-S-C-V, before on the show. It's an open chip instruction set, and it's provided royalty-free. You can think of it as a competitor to what ARM does. ARM provides instruction sets and designs that companies pay to license, but RISC-V provides those for nothing. So it's interesting to see that Qualcomm, NXP, Nordic, Robert Bosch, and Infineon have joined forces to create a company to promote the development of RISC-V. The group plans to start with a focus on automotive applications before expanding to mobile and Internet of Things devices. The as-yet unnamed company will set up shop in Germany and lobby industry associations and also governments and provide reference architectures and establish standards. They're kind of trying to do it all. This takes place, probably not coincidentally, as SoftBank is planning to launch ARM as a public company with a stock IPO rumored for next month.
Yeah, I don't think it's a mystery why Qualcomm would like to have a royalty-free version of ARM.
Dollar bills, y'all. Oh, wait. We're still singing cream here. I always find it interesting and fun when I see these companies make these power moves to save a ton of loot, right? And but at the same time, if you know, I love competition, especially in spaces like this, because inevitably, if it's done well, you get some great features on both sides, and then you can kind of choose which one suits your purposes better. So you know, even though it's, you know, clearly about the money, I welcome these type of things happening all the time. Now, the interesting part about it is the fact that they are releasing it first on automotive, because, you know, in the last couple of weeks, a lot of companies announced they're moving away from, you know, having iOS in the cars and stuff like that. So and, you know, might be developing their own. So it would be kind of interesting to see if these this has a faster uptake just because people are putting themselves in that position.
Yeah, I think it's not even greedy to say, hey, it looks like ARM might raise licensing fees. They're about to IPO, which means they're going to have more pressure to show profits, which means there's more pressure for them to raise licensing fees. So having a counterweight to that to keep the licensing fees from skyrocket is just a good idea. And the fact that it's everybody, it's Qualcomm, it's NXP, it's Nordic, it's Infineon, means that everybody understands we're all going to benefit from this. It's the kind of thing that if ARM is super smart, it might even join in the future at some point to kind of help form it. I doubt that's going to happen, but there's a route where it could that could happen in the future. It's going to take a while, though. Like you say, they're starting with automotive chips because that is an area where they feel like they have a better chance of getting uptake. It's lower powered. It's not like servers or anything like that. So ARM's going to be fine for years. It's not like RISC is going to just come in and take over immediately. But this is going to apply some pressure, and slowly over the years, they will, just like ARM did, move from embedded systems and Internet of Things to mobile to laptops to servers, if all goes well. This is definitely something to watch, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, is there a world where ARM could join this alliance and also keep a separate, you know, specialty ARM instruction set and design part of the company?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know why it would, but
gaming,
I mean,
if there was stuff like that.
Yeah.
I realize that us saying, you know, ARM supporting RISC sounds like in the year 2000 saying Microsoft would support Linux, but it does.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. So, and you know, I could definitely see them doing a branch, you know, for specialty things and then joining something like this to move forward or vice versa, using something like this for, you know, a low cost way to, you know, support things they don't really want to support anymore. It could go in either direction, actually. Yeah.
And yeah. ARM is more than just its instruction set. It's the support. It's the design. You know, obviously, companies like Apple don't need all that stuff. They just want to license the instruction set. But and, you know, that's a big chunk of change for ARM. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. However, there's all kinds of things that ARM does that if they were supporting a RISC instruction set, they have talent and they have ability to do that. I don't think they're going to do that anytime soon. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, maybe 10 years from now, we're like, man, remember when it was sounded crazy to think of ARM supporting RISC? And now it does. Or maybe both of them will flop and end up in a top five. this week on Tom's Top 5, Roger wrote up the top 5 failed home video formats you don't know about. And I count them down for you. If you're like, oh, it's Laserdisc. No, Betamax, not on it. HD DVD, no, we got bigger failures than all of those. If you want to know what they are, check out the video, youtube.com/Daily Tech News Show. Depending on how you look at it, Apple's latest earnings report is either bad news or great news. It's bad news if you consider that it was the third straight quarter of falling revenue, down 1.4%. And that sales of iPhones, which still make almost half of Apple's revenue, were even lower than analysts expected, falling 2.4%. So declining, and declining a little faster than we thought it would. Now, the earnings report is great news if you consider that net income rose 2.3% on the year, and that Apple services revenue reached an all-time high of $21 billion, just a little more than 25% of Apple's revenue now comes from its 1 billion paid subscribers. That's three times, or I'm sorry, that's two times as many subscribers as they had 3 years ago. Knowing the smartphone market would eventually saturate like laptops did, Apple's plan for years has been to grow services and pivot to services as its next big revenue generator. So, Chris, when you look at this, do you see good news or bad news for Apple?
I see ridiculousness in the fact that this system exists in the first place. But well, aside from that, I think it's actually more good news to see that the company's still innovating and finding ways to make money. And the phones aren't totally dead for them. So I don't know if you the fact that they anticipated this and didn't sit there and say, who wants a phone with just a screen on it and then do nothing about it? Right. They saw what was coming and they started pivoting and making moves, much like other companies have done as well. You like to see that those type of things. My only question is, will this whole push to services switch up at some point and people are like, all right, I'm done with this. Just within the last 2 weeks, I canceled three services because it's just getting way out of hand. Yeah.
It's not even just streaming anymore. It's everything.
Everything. It's just getting way out of hand. And you know, I just started reassessing. I was like, this is too much. And even now I'm even looking at canceling more and maybe going back to just getting a basic service from my internet provider just because it's getting crazy. I think that's something that'll be interesting to watch. But overall, I think this is good news for Apple.
Yeah, depends on how much you hate Apple. Some people are like, see, Apple couldn't sustain it. It was, although there was some dip in revenue, it was mostly in line with what analysts expected, slightly lower, but it wasn't like some like crazy like shock and surprise. Gene Munster, who's an Apple analyst, had a really good breakdown. He's bullish on Apple, but he had a good breakdown about Apple's potential in India. We talked earlier in the year about Apple opening a couple of stores. The company certainly hopes that its physical presence in India will be a lot more than that in time. Cook had noted on the earnings call that the opportunity in India was a big deal. The company didn't break out India numbers, but Cook commented that India had hit a June quarter revenue record. It grew strong double digits. Also said the company opened, noted that the two new stores are beating expectations. However, I don't know. None of us have been to either of those stores. If you have, let us know what you thought about it. But it sounds like there's a lot of interest there. And Munster also compared this to Apple revenue in China. It wasn't that long ago that China was an emerging market for Apple, and now it's a really big one. And India has a lot of people in the country, and if it goes into a double-digit billion-dollar revenue in quarters to come, then that's a bright light. Also, he mentioned, hey, we got the iPhone 15 coming next quarter, and you got holiday sales and that sort of stuff. So that, along with the Vision Pro coming next year, makes this conversation a year from now really interesting.
Yeah, we don't always talk about earnings reports on DTNS. And if we do, sometimes we just have them in the quick hits up at the top. But Apple is one of the biggest companies in the world, not just the biggest tech companies. And their bet on services has been something that is crucial to the survival of the company. So I thought it was worth paying attention to this earnings report, because it does seem like we are seeing the pivot. We are seeing the slowing of even the iPhone. The iPhone outlasted most of the rest of the smartphone market, but even the iPhone is slowing down. But services is still rising. It's a record high, but it's been a record high every quarter, which is good. Right. That's what Apple wants to see. All of this has happened before, and all of this will happen again. As Sarah just explained, it used to be like, well, sales are slowing down for Apple, but maybe China sales can pick it up. And well, guess what? They did. So maybe India can do that. Past results are no guarantee of future results, but seems logical that that could happen. And we saw laptop sales slow down. And at a time, you people probably don't remember, when the iPhone was still so young, a lot of people are like, well, Apple can't build its entire business on the iPhone, can it? Well, it turns out it could. And it did. So that, I guess, is the bigger question. Can services be the next thing that becomes half of Apple's revenue?
Well, I think definitely. Obviously, they have to recognize their revenue differently. But in the end, not only does this serve to show that Apple made the pivot and it looks like they're making the right decision, but we should probably be less surprised when other companies start to continue to make this pivot. I know just within the last couple of weeks, we were all pretty surprised about the announcement of some of the car companies kind of doing services so that you can get additional features in the vehicle. And, you know, honestly, when you look at something like this, it kind of says, you know what, I should probably be less surprised that people are finding ways to make services a bigger part of their revenue stream.
I mean, I don't love that they're trying to turn heated seats into a service, but I get why they're trying to do it. Yeah.
Heated seats are lovely, by the way.
Are they worth a monthly subscription, though, when they're already in your car?
Oh, that would make me so mad. I mean, I have heated seats in the front, not the whole car. But if I knew they were there, you know, that's what gets you. Ooh.
Yeah, that would drive me.
Well, but, you know, you got to pay for that little guy to come in and light the fire under your seat. So you can't be free, Sarah.
True. Yeah. Little green men. Yeah, they power a lot. Mario of Super Mario Brothers, also a very powerful character, and that is why Polygon employee and writer Xtina GG decided to live for a work week 5 days in a row in the shoes of Mario. And you might say, what does that mean? Well, for 5 days, they live in New York City. They wore a full body Super Mario costume, got the mustache and everything, and did things like plumbing the Polygon office toilets, jumping around a lot, eating Italian food, powering up with raw mushrooms. They noted they did not enjoy eating them. Went go-karting at Coney Island, went mini-golfing, and also danced. Typical Mario stuff, you know? Xtina Mario, as they called themselves during this experiment, tried running 5 miles to work the first day instead of taking the subway, because that's what Mario would do, right? But then admitted that was unsustainable. But then they got creative and decided that by riding Yoshi, which in real life was a green dinosaur head on a stick on the subway, that they could ride the subway and still feel authentic.
Clever.
I know. Xtina admits being Mario for a week was not easy. But you know what? We're just going to go ahead and respect their commitment to research.
Fair enough. This sounds like a fun thing to do. I want to poo-poo and hate it, but
this took me back to a simpler time on the internet when like this kind of thing was all the rage on YouTube,
right?
Long before TikTok and everything else.
I challenge under
this.
The sun.
Yeah. I also love that she's like a week meaning 5 days, because they don't pay me to be Mario on the weekends.
Right. Yeah. Let's, you know, it's a Monday through Friday type thing. What I love the idea, you know, so okay, like first day was running 5 miles to work. Okay, we're not doing that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Then, you know, second day is like, how do I ride the subway but still, you know, not just be sitting there? And imagine like on Tuesday seeing somebody dressed up as Mario and you kind of go like, oh well, whatever, New York City.
Yeah, right.
You see them again.
That was my exact thought. It was like nobody even paid 1 second of attention up there.
No, but like, what if, you know, because you're kind of gonna, if you're commuting at the exact same time as somebody else, chances are you might recognize them again.
Yeah.
You know, you got the same, you know, you're on the same schedule.
And you're going to expect them to get off at Times Square in that outfit.
Right. Yeah. It's like, oh, or maybe, you know, it's like children's birthday party,
sure.
Or,
yeah.
you know, all sorts of things it could be.
100% chances there was at least three more Marios on the train.
Oh my God, you're not wrong.
And they all like had like a dance thing and then brought around a hat. Yeah.
That would have been amazing if they found another Mario and did a like head to head. Or Luigi.
Right.
Let's get to the mailbag.
Let's do it. Regarding our discussion of Warner Brothers Discovery's sports strategy for Max, Rick in Texas wanted to add to the discussion that Warner has Eurosport channels, Discovery Plus Sports and GCN Plus. Rick subscribes to GCN Plus for cycling coverage, and he says, quote, I watch most days through, though right now there's a lull for the because of the buildup to the UCI World Championships in Glasgow. Eurosport might be the ESPN for the rest of the world.
Thank you, Rick. That was good info to add to the discussion. I always appreciate that.
Indeed. We also appreciate you, Chris Ashley. Thanks for being with us today. And let folks know what you've been up to.
Oh, Rod and I are getting ready to start season 5 of Barbecue and Tech with some really cool food to talk about. And of course, you can always check us out on SMR Podcast, me and your boy, Rob Dunwood. I can't even call him my boy anymore. He's your boy now.
It's ours. Yeah. Ours.
All right,
he's the collective. He's the
yeah.
Yes. I say collective boy. That doesn't sound right, but you know what I mean.
He's the homie. So yeah, we're still doing our thing. But yeah, I'm so excited for this season of Barbecue and Tech.
Excellent. Go and subscribe if you haven't already. Patrons, stick around for the extended show, Good Day Internet. It's Friday, and enough of you loved the Who Am I bit that we did with tech personalities last week that we're going to do it again. Stick around and see if you, too, can figure out the mystery person before the final clue is given.
Reminder, you can catch the show live. Mive or live or five? No, it's live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern at 2000 UTC. And you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. We'll be back Monday with Justin Robert Young and Nika Monford joining us. Have a great weekend, everyone. Talk to you soon.
This week's episodes of Daily Tech News Show were created by the following people. Host, producer, and writer Tom Merritt. Host, producer, and writer Sarah Lane. Executive producer and booker Roger Chang. Producer, writer, and co-hosts Megan Maroney and Rob Dunwood. Video producer and Twitch producer Joe Kuntz. Technical producer Anthony Lemos. Spanish language host, writer, and producer Dan Campos. Science correspondent Dr. Nikki Ackermans. Social media producer and moderator Zoe Detterding. Our mods, Beatmaster, W. Scottis 1, BioCow, Captain Kipper, Steve Guadarrama, Paul Reese, Matthew J. Stevens, a.k.a. Gadget Virtuoso, and J.D. Galloway. Mod and video hosting by Dan Christensen. Music and art provided by Martin Bell, Dan Luders, Mustafa A., Acast, and Len Peralta. Acast ad support from Tatiana Matias. Patreon support from Tom McNeil. Contributors for this week's shows included Ayaz Akhtar, Scott Johnson, Justin Robert Young, and Chris Ashley. And thanks to all the patrons who made the show possible.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Oh, that was wonderful.
I agree, Tom.
Wunderbar.
It was a Wunderbar show.
It was.
It was fun.
And we need your titles for it. Showbot.tv/DTNS2. So go over there. And Sarah, I believe we have a word of the day to get a 20% discount code. Is it possible that you could go to that greetings tab and let them in on the word of the day while I look at these titles?
If you are watching us live today, type charger, all lowercase, in the Twitch chat for a chance to win 20% discount code for the DTNS store. The code will be whispered to you on Twitch and is valid for 1 week. Once again, today's word is charger.
Oh, that was the best one yet.
I don't know why I did it that way. I just thought it was fun.
Today's
It's word. Because we say the word whisper, and so I...
Oh, yeah.
No, you know, it's like, sense. Yeah, I just, I'm like, oh, it's a secret.
Right. It does feel like a secret.
All right. Well, I'm going to...
And sorry that I said RISC-V. It's like iPhone X. I don't know. Sometimes Roman alphabets are hard.
Damn Romans.
You know, Sarah, yeah, if you, you do know, submit
Romans,
to Google...
Didn't you go somewhere? Sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
I was saying, if you do submit to Google to eliminate the other Sarah Lane, just make sure you scream, there can be only one, and then submit it.
I won't. I had my issues, not with her personally, some years ago. No, I'm sure she's great.
Mm-hmm.
Just she was in the news, and I got caught up in it.
Oh, yeah. Because, I remember that.
Because at the time, mm-hmm. I was just an more easily searched Sarah Lane.
Right.
I was at the top of everything because right. I was more of an internet person. So it goes. I mean, I didn't go like more than a couple pages deep into Sarah Lane results, but I didn't see, I mean, even for myself, there was nothing that was untrue or
Yeah.
You know, something where I felt like my privacy or security was,
at risk.
Yeah, not really. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'll go back to it and try harder this weekend.
And you're just you're just removing it from search results, right? So to me, it would be like, oh, I don't want my phone number to show up that high, right? Yeah, I would I would understand why people would want to remove that.
Totally.
But some of it, it's like, well, if you remove it from search, that doesn't remove it from the internet. So
no,
yeah,
right.
Then you
it's just a very, very, you know, common way for those internet results to show them.
Well, that music means it's time to play Who Am I? Chris, have you played Who Am I
before? I have not.
Oh, this is an easy one. This is not like the multiple choice quizzes. You don't have to buzz in or anything. It's just if you guess who the person is, say it. And you get unlimited guesses. So it doesn't matter how many times you guess. I will give clues. One of you should guess it by the eighth clue. There are only eight clues.
I'm terrible at this stuff. So, that's why it's going to be so much fun.
The winner is always the chat room because they use Google. No, I don't know. They might use DuckDuckGo. I have no idea. But try not to look at the chat room because they will get it right. Are you ready for the first clue?
Let's do this.
Yes.
I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Rocky.
No, it is not Rocky. Although Rocky was Rocky born in Pittsburgh? I actually don't remember.
No, he's Philly.
He's Philly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Okay.
The steps.
But was he born in Pittsburgh and then moved to Philly? Was that some secret?
I don't think so. Philadelphia Rocky's was background. Like a big part of his identity. But I don't know.
Where I'm going.
The secret of Rocky was that he was truly from Pittsburgh.
The prequel. Yeah,
no one really knew that until now.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, these are not necessarily tech personalities. I should throw that out there. So, if you're thinking, wait, was Steve Jobs born in Pittsburgh? It's not necessarily that. All right. Clue number two. I've always been self-conscious. I'm saying these as if I'm the person, by the way. I've always been self-conscious about my appearance. At the age of 29, I had a nose job.
Hmm.
And that means they got work done on their nose, not that they had a job as a nose.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Ooh, I don't know that Sarah Jessica Parker's from Pittsburgh, but interesting, interesting nose.
I don't think she had a nose job. I think she's sort of well known for not getting one. She never fixed her
nose. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What's the
unless she had a nose job to make her nose look like it does now?
Jennifer Grey.
Jennifer Grey. No, it's not Jennifer Grey either.
Okay.
All right.
She did. I mean, she did. So anyway. Okay. All right.
Clue number three. Remember, there's only eight.
Okay.
I was so impressed by the Macintosh computer at a birthday party that I became a spokesperson for Commodore's Amiga the following year.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Which is funny that they were impressed by the Mac and then became a spokesperson for Amiga, but...
Was Steve Jobs a child actor?
Steve Jobs was not a spokesperson.
He wasn't a child at that point either.
I mean, spokesperson, I guess, could be a broad term, but no, I don't. Okay, I'm gonna guess this is a woman, but I still don't know.
All right. All right. Roger, be ready to come in and explain this because this is turning out to be good. Clue number four. Although my artistic work has transcended many mediums, my computer work was relatively unknown until 2014 when a dozen previously unknown works created by me on my Amiga were recovered from 30-year-old Amiga discs.
I see. Man, I don't know who that was. I remember a story about that.
I don't. I'm not going to get this one. I just feel it. But okay. All right. I'll stay optimistic.
Yeah. I almost died in 1968 after a colleague attacked me.
What?
Clue number five. That was me speaking as this person, of course. Not.
Yes.
I was not alive in 1968.
We get it, Tom. You're in character.
I'm not doing a voice either. So. It was not Tip O'Neill. Thank you, Moose 2271.
1968.
I almost died when a colleague attacked me.
After a colleague attacked.
I've not heard that story. anybody.
Clue number six. I made an 8-hour movie focused on the Empire State Building. Pittsburgh, Amiga, Nose Job, Artist, Attacked.
Andy Warhol?
Yes!
Oh, wow, look at you.
The only thing that made sense was the 8-hour movie, where I'm like, who would do something like that? Someone like Andy Warhol.
The remaining clues were, at the Amiga launch event, I demoed the artistic capabilities of the machine by making a digital portrait of Debbie Harry from Blondie. Ah. And I'm best known for my pop art, specifically one featuring soup cans. I feel like if we'd got to clue 8, that we would have got
that,
it.
That would have done it.
Like, the last clue should obviously tell you who it is.
Yeah. Not obviously.
See, I don't know enough of, like, I didn't know Andy Warhol was born in Pittsburgh, but if you did, you might, you know, you might have been at home being like, oh my God, this is
the
so
idea
obvious.
Is to start with the single crumb and then build into the bread.
Yeah.
No, you did good. I just don't know much about Andy Warhol.
Of the people in the chat room that weren't using ChatGPT to answer this, it was the Amiga that seemed to trip people to be like, oh, maybe Andy Warhol?
I didn't hear that. That's cool.
So, really cool. A little tidbit of trivia, if you ever want to use it at a party or just to shut someone up at the airport. With the Macintosh computer, for the longest time, Steve Jobs was offering Andy Warhol, like, hey, I can give you a free Mac. Never got a return a reply from Andy Warhol. And then at Sean Lennon's 9th birthday party, both Steve Jobs and Andy Warhol were invited to that party by John Lennon. And Steve Jobs brought a Mac as a present. And then they set it up, and Andy Warhol got to play with it. And he was, like, really astounded because at that point, he just thought computers had nothing to offer an artist. Mm-hmm. And he had the opportunity to become the spokesperson for the Amiga the following year, so he did that.
So he did
That's
that instead.
So cool.
Why didn't Steve Jobs get
that
Andy Warhol to become a spokesperson for the Mac? That's...
Like, he did, like, I guess at the time, it's like, who's the Steve Jobs? He keeps calling me about wanting to give me
a computer.
After he
was impressed by the Mac, why didn't he then Amiga?
Because at the time, the Mac was still black and white, and he liked the color abilities of the Amiga, which allowed him to express him. Also, the whole Genlock thing, and I can bring people's faces in.
Mm-hmm. All right. Our second person is... not someone like Andy Warhol that you would think of immediately. So I'm curious if this one's going to...
Well, we didn't think of him immediately. So Chris, you and I have our work cut out for us.
I'm going to combine clues one and two together right off the top. Because I was born in New York in 1934. Unless you're like a big fan of 1934 birthdays, I'm guessing not going to give you anything. So right into clue number two. I earned a PhD in engineering physics from Cornell University in 1965. New York born, Cornell trained.
Born in 1934, so it can't be anything like... What did you say? Graduated in 1965?
Yes, PhD. Got the PhD in engineering physics from Cornell in 1965.
Okay. Engineering physics... 1965. I don't know.
All right. Clue number three is going to tell you what world this person lives in. At 14, which would be 1948, I built my own theremin using plans printed in Electronics World. Build a theremin.
Yeah, I know what a theremin is, but...
So we're talking somebody with a little musical sensibility and an engineering thing. Clue number four, in a retrospective of my life, The Guardian wrote that my inventions changed the complexion of the pop and classical music worlds. It was not, in fact, Elizabeth Holmes, Stoic Squirrel, but thank you for playing.
I was born in the 30s. Then you'd be, if you're born in the 30s. No, okay, that makes sense. Yeah, mm-hmm. then you would need, because you go into PhD. 65. So I don't know. Oh gosh.
Who's some
the classical thing is throwing me. who would it?
Clue number five might help. In 1970, I received a Grammy for Lifetime Achievement.
It's 1970.
For Lifetime Achievement in 1970?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Graduated nice. Engineering 65. Lifetime Achievement by 1970.
I'm going to be annoyed when we reveal who it is.
All right. This one's going to get you on the road. Clue number six. My invention bears my name and is considered synonymous with the type of device it is.
Oh,
Fender.
Yeah.
It's not Fender, but you're thinking along the right lines.
Okay. It's not Fender. Is there a person named 808?
Feels like a 808.
let's see. the
clue number seven. In 2012, to celebrate my birthday, Google created an interactive version of my invention as a Google Doodle.
Mm. Wasn't that some type of piano?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like a synthesizer or something.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. See, 808 was not such a dumb idea.
Not that far off. It's not Mr. 808, though.
Well, that's unfortunate. Somebody should be named that. I just can't. Chris, do you have anything?
I'm not great with the equipment name. That's the problem. And I know I probably, is it Heil?
No, it's not Bob Heil. It's a little more widespread than Bob Heil. I like that answer, though. Clue number eight, my invention debuted commercially in 1964.
Yeah, I mean, it's the name of a synthesizer, and yep. I just can't think of what it is. I don't know why. I just drawn a Friday blank.
Roger, what was the person?
It was Robert Moog.
The Moog synthesizer. Yeah. Moog.
It is.
I wasn't going to get that.
It was the
first. I would never got that.
I wasn't going to get it, even though I know who that is. Yeah.
You were close, though. I could tell.
Yeah,
Both of you were trying to pull up that name. Yeah.
But his was like the first commercially available modular analog synthesizer, and it literally made synth music a more common thing because, one, it was affordable. Two, it was flexible for a lot of the type of work before people went into digital synthesizers.
Robert Moog.
Cool.
All right. Third person. You ready for the third person?
Let's do this.
This one's fun.
Even though I'm terrible, I'm having a blast.
All right. Clue number one. I enrolled at UCLA in digital media management and computer science in 2012.
2012. Lil Wayne.
Well, good answer. Was not Lil Wayne.
Oh, he went to
Little. Not any kind of Wayne. Little or otherwise.
Is it computer science at UCLA?
Digital media management and computer science.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA.
So it's either, you know, rather young person or somebody who went back to school.
Clue number two. For my final project in my CS32 Introduction to Computer Science 2 class, I had to code a computer version of the Battleship board game.
Sounds awesome.
Anything it's called.
Oh, I know who did it.
Yeah, of course. It's the Battleship person.
There may be a member of this crew who has told you this fact multiple times.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh,
boy.
Yeah.
Clue number three. I am a net neutrality activist and have actively been involved in the fight to preserve an open internet.
Oh, is it the dude from who did Twitter?
Which dude used to do Twitter? There's a few of them.
What's his? the main one that was just.
Are you talking about Jack Dorsey?
Yeah, him.
It is not Jack Dorsey. No. Dorsey did not go to UCLA in 2012.
Net neutrality, 2020, net neutrality. I mean, Cory Doctorow?
A few people in the chat room saying that too. No, it is not Cory Doctorow.
I mean, I would assume he just had, well, I'm not going to assume anything
that fits
about
the profile,
when people
though.
Went to college.
I'm pretty sure that Doctorow did not go to UCLA in 2012, but it's not impossible
that
he would have just been let me pick up another degree. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Clue number four. I am an avid knitter and founded a clothing company in 2000.
An avid knitter.
So this gives you a little perspective on the age, right?
Clothing company. Yeah.
And no, Batfink, it is not Larry Lessig. Avid knitter, Larry Lessig.
I will respond to Stealth Dave. I have no brother.
Stealth Dave was guessing Roger's brother. Avid knitter, founded a clothing company in 2000. Clue number five. I hosted an episode of Saturday Night Live during its 13th season.
Well, I mean, what season are we even in now?
We're in like the 40s of their season.
I mean,
it debuted in 1970 something. So this would have been in the 80s.
Okay. I just don't know what celeb.
Oh, I guess we're at 50, right?
What celeb knits? I don't know.
Comp Sci knits and hosted Saturday Night Live in the 80s.
Eddie Murphy.
I don't know.
I could see Eddie Murphy being an avid knitter.
Could you? That's
yeah, because cool. He'd be just telling jokes while he's knitting a boot.
Launched a clothing line. It's like, what? Like, who?
True. No, not the clothing line, though.
All right. Clue number six brings it back to the present. I recently served as a consultant on the use of artificial intelligence for SAG-AFTRA's negotiating committee.
Justine Bateman.
Bingo. Well done.
Oh, wow. Sarah's a beast.
Yeah. Clue number seven was my brother is a popular actor. And clue number eight, I played Mallory on the show Family Ties.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad we didn't get that far.
Yeah, we didn't even need those. Good job. Uh-huh.
Good job, Sarah.
Thank you.
Did you ever watch Family Ties? Either one of you?
Oh, yeah.
I did,
Yeah, okay.
But I couldn't remember like names and stuff like that.
All of the clues, I didn't know where she went to college, you know, that she went back to college. I did not know about the clothing line or the knitting.
Mm.
The net neutrality I did know about. Mm-hmm. She just didn't come to mind until you said
there's a lot of people who advocate for you. So that's a very, very broad swath.
Very broad.
Yeah. Roger likes to bring up the fact that she coded Battleship, though.
He's told that story
more than once.
So this is a great thing. I want to say Mallory, but I mean Justine Bateman. She kept a active Tumblr page about her entire experience while she was at UCLA. So she actually has snippets of the code for her final project. She has a photo of all the notes she took from all the classes she had, and she has like a couple of photos of classmates and stuff. But at the time, she was one of the oldest freshmen at UCLA when she enrolled.
Skelly says she was also a licensed pilot of single engine planes and a certified scuba diver. I mean, the certified scuba diver.
At one point, but I don't know if she maintained it, so I left it out.
Yeah. That's right, Stealth Dave. You cannot get any SAG after trivia pass, Sarah.
No way.
Not a thing.
Got it. That was
that's kind of my specialty.
That was good. That was good.
Fun.
Yeah.
Wait, are we done?
Yeah, that's all three. Yeah.
Oh, good. I win. Ha ha.
We blazed.
Oh, you definitely.
Usually, if there's three people, it takes a little bit longer because everyone's conversing.
Next time, you got to pick one that Chris is likely to get.
Yeah, Michael Jackson. You know.
Honestly, I thought about. I mean, so
next time Chris is on a Friday, make it
James
Michael
Brown.
Jackson.
I mean, so this is the thing of the tech connections that Michael Jackson had. He was the one that initiated the conversation with Sega to do a Smooth Criminal video game because he loved video games and he loved the Sega Genesis. Like, why don't we do a game that involves me dancing in my music?
Mm.
And
I did play that game. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was fun. And it was funny because it's like the music, I mean, you better like that song because it'll just loop the entire game.
I had a friend who played it so much that I was like, Annie, are you okay?
Yeah. Are you okay, Annie? Also, he co-invented the whole shoe thing with the hook, so he could do the lean over without falling over on stage.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's basically a little key lock on the bottom of the shoe that hooks into a little thing on the stage.
Oh, I just thought he was just good leaning. Good leaner.
Well, he just did the rock
the magic
away.
For sure.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. What the heck, Roger?
I mean, like,
what's next?
I mean, he was also the wasn't he also the first posthumous hologram performance on stage?
I think he was.
Was he the first?
No, I think Tupac.
Was it him?
I was thinking it was
I thought
Tupac.
They did Mike Tupac first, and then they did Tupac.
Did they? Yeah.
Well, maybe.
No,
maybe
but
we're
Tupac
right now.
Died so much earlier.
Oh,
yeah,
good
but
point.
They didn't do.
They did. They did
I mean,
Tupac
Michael
early.
Jackson died in like what 2009, I think.
Quick to the TMZ.
Yeah. Musical holograms on Billboard. It all started in 1858 when English engineer Henry Dirks, blah, 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 James Bond, blah, 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 Pepper's Ghost. Okay, 2006 at the 48th Grammys, Gorillaz did a live performance of Feel Good with Madonna.
Huh.
So that's not posthumous, but that is one of the early holograms. 2007, Celine Dion walked onto the American Idol stage with Elvis Presley to sing If I Can Dream.
Tupac, 2012.
And then, yeah, that's Coachella, 2012.
So when did the Michael Jackson one come out?
Let's see. ODB rejoined Wu-Tang Clan in 2013. And a comeback of Easy. Where was this? The 10th anniversary Rock the Bells show. 2014 Michael Jackson. There we go.
All right.
Tupac it is.
Tupac, you win.
I can't lose. I just can't lose.
Janelle Monáe materialized alongside MIA at a show in New York to collab on Bad Girls, then switched places in L.A. Oh, I see. I was like, why did they have to do that? Couldn't they just flown Janelle Monáe? They're in two different places. I see.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's magic, black magic. I don't know. It's weird how like all the stuff that initially came out was so groundbreaking, but then now it's just very commonplace. Like when they did the Christopher Reeve video of him walking after his horse accident that kind of left him paralyzed, that they did that animation that everyone thought was a little too uncanny valley.
They did that. They did it an animation of that. I mean,
like they did CGI where it was him. His head, but they, you know, the commercial was like, we have the future is just around the corner that we can, you know, implying that the, you know, the ability to overcome, you know, paralysis was just around the corner from this company.
Got it.
I think it was during the Super Bowl. There were a lot of people commented that was a really creepy commercial.
Well, I was like, who loves Christopher Reeve that much where they want to see a hologram? Tupac, yeah. Michael Jackson, yes.
Christopher Reeve was Superman.
Chief Keef,
yes. I know.
Chief Tupac's Tupac.
It's different skill sets.
I mean, it's one of the questions I asked. It's like, would you want to have a digital twin of yourself to be made so when you pass on, there's still that part of you that's alive?
I don't.
And
have
at
a
what age
for
would
that.
You like your appearance to be? Nothing under the 18, something over the age of 18.
No, the big question is: does Michael Jackson's hologram need the hook shoe?
No, that's a good question. No. Yeah.
Well, you know, is it really a twin if it doesn't?
Oh, hold on. Breaking news here: Van Moof for sale.
Really?
Should we buy it? The e-bike?
Yeah, why not?
The e-bike company?
I want an e-bike.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Rumored buyers include Accel Group, Trek, and Giant, micromobility.com, formerly known as Helbiz.
I mean, that, and you know, an acquisition makes more sense than just like, we went bankrupt. Oh, well.
Yeah. Sorry, bike owners.
You know, because there's so much good there. It's just, you know, the
there's
business
value there,
itself.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, is that one of the electric automated?
Yeah, it's in the, based in the Netherlands. And I have a couple friends who live in Amsterdam. Apparently, it's, you know, wildly popular.
I'm seeing a bunch. You know, I was just saying yesterday how I'm seeing more of these bikes all over the place around here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We were talking, gosh, was it last Friday?
Yeah.
About...
Was it last Friday? Or the Friday before?
It was... I don't remember. It was last week. We had a conversation about e-bikes and the idea that, you know, they're not necessarily safe because they're going really fast. And they don't have, you know, things like helmet restrictions and age restrictions and special licensing for e-bikes, all of which, depending on who you are, people care about. And there's a bill in California that it hasn't passed yet. It's still in draft mode about requiring anybody who is over the age of 12 and doesn't have a driver's license. So if you have a driver's license, you're already over 12 and you're okay. You still have to drive, not like a maniac. But if you don't, then you need a special e-bike license.
To drive like a maniac?
To not drive like a maniac, so to drive at all.
Got it.
You
know? Got it.
You want to be a good driver across the board. Anyway, if something like this passes, it could follow suit in other places.
All right, well, let's wrap up the week right there. Thank you again to Elena, Michael, and Brian, our brand new patrons. Welcome in. Everybody make them feel at home. Also, thanks to Lewis, who gave us a raise. Not only went monthly, but increased the amount, as did Phil. Thank you, Phil and Lewis, both, for helping to support us and keeping us loud, live, and independent. We appreciate that. We wouldn't have a Twitch stream if we didn't have the Twitch supporters. So we definitely want to thank Dan 343413, Naru Takikun, a new follower, Cpots 50 for the 41st month, Moose 2271, Technomench, Zoe Brings Back In, and S Dub Texas, who all gave us bits. That's going to wrap it. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Chris Ashley.
Thank you. And thanks, everybody.
Thanks to you, Chris. And thanks to everybody for listening and being with us. We hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Yep. Until Monday, enjoy those late night August D streams, everyone, and have a good day.
Good day.
Good day.
Good day.